Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says, for example, in Romans chapter 12, to present your body a living sacrifice to God. It's pretty hard to run around sinning while you're praying. Oh God, please, ask you to bless this fornication I'm about to indulge in. Not only will he not answer, but remember those lightning bolts we were talking about earlier?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his collection of studies called Why Should I? We've been in a mini-series called Why Should I Pray? And we're about to hear its conclusion. Quite obviously, the God-granted privilege of making our praise and requests known to our Maker is of such import, we've spent a number of broadcasts covering the topic. Let's continue in this study series called, Why Should I Pray? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
And Paul will go on to tell you, I do not understand what I'm praying when I pray in that language. But God knows. He says, in public, I'd rather speak five words in Greek or Hebrew or English that you understand. But in private, he'll pray that way, in the Spirit. And that is not a gift. To pray in the Spirit is available to every Christian all around the world. You just need to go and pray with the Lord and let your prayer life experience that. Very interesting. I can see the crook in your eyebrow going, wow, what is that? Read Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 14 very carefully. Okay, enough of that. We see this concerning how we're connected to God in prayer is that where does the connection take place? And that is both in heaven and on earth at the same time. When we pray, we are immediately connected to God in heaven. There's a wonderful connection there. When you see a lightning bolt, people, we're supposed to have those tomorrow, by the way. Did you know that? That'd be kind of nice. They're kind of beautiful and awesome. You ever seen a lightning bolt? Those of you who are from the Great Plains or whatever, or maybe down Texas or Florida way, Louisiana, great lightning bolts in the sky. Where do you see it come from and go to? You see it go from the cloud to the ground, right? Did you know that's not exactly the truth? That's only half the truth. The bolt that comes out of the cloud and heads toward the ground at most will go at times 3/4 of the way down. Rarely will it ever strike the earth. You say, wait a minute, I've seen lightning strikes. No, what you saw was the other half of the lightning bolt that ascends from the earth up into the cloud. Did you know that? That when a lightning strike takes place, there is most often an electrical charge that's released both from the cloud and from the earth, and they often meet in the atmosphere. The bottom one travels faster than the top one, and your eye doesn't see it. Now, if you use high-speed photography, you can capture it. It's extremely rare, but it's happened when a lightning bolt has exited the earth into a cloud. They have often said that that is actually St. Elmo's fire, trying to define it. It's very rare. But most often, the lightning bolt will come out of the cloud and either go to cloud or cloud nearly to the ground, and then there's a release and a spark will go up from the earth. But it looks like to us, the lightning bolt came out of the sky, because our eyes can't catch it. What's my point? There's something happening in heaven, and there's something happening on the earth. When the Christian prays, there's a connection. That Christian bows his heart, begins to pray, and wham, there's a connection from heaven to earth, earth to heaven. And it's a tremendous thing. I'd said before that when you pray with somebody, you can know somebody for a long time, but you'll know them the most when you pray with them. The more you pray with them, the better you know them. And I don't know if this morning maybe you're dating somebody or you're engaged. I wouldn't date anybody, especially, first thing, I'm married, so I'm not going to date anybody. But if you're single or you're engaged, I tell you what, you may, oh, we really get along, we have the most fun times. Well, that's nice. That's, I'm really glad for that. That should come, though, at least second to praying together. Praying together. Oh, he won't pray. He won't pray, then she won't marry. Think about it. I'm going to give him my life. We're going to say I do. We're going to spend the rest of our life together. We're going to do this for the God, and we're going to enjoy this. Are you praying together? No. You know what? If you're engaged or you're dating somebody, and if you think, remember, you're always going to marry somebody you dated. So you want to cut to the chase quick to see if you're going to waste. And listen, I'm just talking to the guys. Girls, you can just kind of hum right now. Hey, guys, you want to save some money? When you go out on a date, if she doesn't want to pray, go to Taco Bell. Because you know what? What you want to do is you want to get engaged to a girl who impresses you spiritually. That's the girl you want to say, I do, so that you won't get away. That's what you want to do. Hey, if he wants you to smooch, and if he wants you to give it up, if he wants you to, you know, be the girl, I guarantee you, he's not a praying person. And you have no business being with that kind of a guy. Well, I'm really shy. Well, then, you know what? Go home and practice on your prayer life then, and then ask your date out. This is a serious issue. You know, man, you should be being hard on that. You know what? You should come into our offices and talk to people or sit on our shoulder and listen to the disasters of relationships. He was so nice. Did you guys read the Bible together? No. Did you pray together? No. But he was so nice. And someone gives them their life. No way. Make sure that there's a connection in heaven. Let's move on. Prayer connects us to God. Why? We're asking the question, why has he made the connection possible? And this is very quickly and simply answered. It's because God has compassion upon a lost world, and he has provided for us the avenue of prayer by which we might have fellowship with God again. And so we want to take advantage of prayer. How often we struggle with so many things in life because we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. And there's an old hymn about that. The needless things we suffer, all because we fail to take things to the Lord in prayer. He wants us to enjoy his divine comfort and protection. He's made it possible that we might, until we get to heaven, enjoy some of what was left in the Garden of Eden and the fellowship with God. He wants us to have him as his friend, and that comes through prayer. I said it earlier, I'll say it again here. Jesus wants us to have this friendship, not some kind of religious act. And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, he says, when you pray, do not be using vain repetitions like the unbelievers do, for they think they will be heard by their many words that they use. He wants to have that relationship with you because he has compassion upon us, and he wants us to speak to him. And there's that wonderful divine comfort and guidance and fellowship that he wants to give us. Third and final point, and we'll be done, is this. Prayer keeps us in the presence of God. Amen. That's a good thing. Prayer keeps us in the presence of God. Number one, we'll look at three things. Number one, this way. Prayer keeps us physically dedicated to God. You say, what? Yeah, physically dedicated. Physically dedicated, by that I mean this. If you're praying, you're enjoying a fellowship with God. You know he's real. You've been confirmed. In fact, nobody can talk you out of that now. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Somebody could come in here right now and say, hey, you know, we found a flaw in the Bible. Look, it's not real. Or, look, Time Magazine found the body of Jesus in Syria. Or Noah's Ark turned out to be only, 3 feet long. I don't care. I have now been convinced by God himself. Doesn't matter. Well, when I speak of physical dedication, when you're praying and you've been convinced the reality of the Lord in your life, the Bible says, for example, in Romans chapter 12, to present your body a living sacrifice to God. It's pretty hard to run around sinning while you're praying. Oh, God, please, ask you to bless this fornication I'm about to indulge in. Not only will he not answer, but remember those lightning bolts we were talking about earlier? It's like the people up in San Francisco, you know? Or the Berkeley guys. Anybody from Berkeley? I'll make sure to pray for you. And especially if you're a Christian and you're going back to that area. Didn't God invent weed? I mean, didn't he invent marijuana? Must be from God. He wants us to enjoy it. What are you, nuts? He invented rattlesnakes. Go up there. Put one of those in your mouth. Gee whiz. Dedicate your body to God. Job says, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a young virgin. Gee, I wonder why Job made a covenant with his eyes. Could it be that he had a need to make a covenant with his eyes? That's an important thing. I would never. I tell you, some people run around this planet, they're trying to find the fountain of youth, right? Oh, we found the fountain, you're going to live forever. Who would want to? I read my Bible. I can't wait to go home. Amen. Man, you drink this. Buy this. You'll live an extra 5 years. Why would I want to? I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to be healthy, but I want to go quick. I'm a coward. Give me the grill of a truck. Don't give me some long, drawn-out thing, you know? I don't have that kind of faith. But you see these young boys, my heart breaks for teenagers, especially the guys, because I can relate to guys, you know, I'm a guy. And it was rough enough when I was a little kid. But can you imagine being a teenager now? Hey, a teenager now, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, and you're watching the Lakers play the Spurs, and there's a Victoria's Secret commercial on TV. And the girls, oh, well, that's a good price. We don't care about the price. You know what? Let me tell you, I'm telling you right now. Guys, I'm speaking for every one of us. Ladies, in fact, if somebody wants to get rich around here, you know what? You know how you got a mute button on your, what's it called? The clicker. On the remote. You know how you got the mute button on the remote? There needs to be a blank button. Invent it. And then give me 10%. There needs to be a blank button. Victoria's Secret, this month. You know why? Because a young man, his life will be ruined. You say, oh, man. And all the women will go, oh, he's being ridiculous. Oh, yeah? Ask a young man. Ask the man sitting next to you. Is that true that just the picture of it drives you nuts? It's true. Listen, girl, you can be saying, oh, isn't this a cute top? Look how cute this top is. And it may be totally cute to you and your girlfriends. It could kill a guy. I'm telling you, we're getting ahead to the Why Should I Have a Christian Mate series, but prevention. present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Number two, very important is this. Prayer keeps us in the presence of God because prayer keeps us emotionally balanced. All of us are emotional creations of God. It's the way He made us. Don't apologize for it. Some of you are more emotional than others. Let's be specific. Some of you are more emotional about certain topics than others. It's the way He wired us. Emotional creativity, passion, and vision in our lives, it's not a bad thing. God made that. What's bad about emotions or the mind is when it's in control. When your emotions are in charge, you are a lunatic when things are going bad. You stand around screaming and panicking instead of fixing the problem. You don't care what the Bible says, you feel. I feel Like, this is the right thing to do. Yeah, but the Bible says don't do it. Yeah, but I feel. It's what I feel. You're going to get hurt. Emotionalism can destroy you, though we be emotionally created beings. That's okay. Just make sure your emotions are under the control of the domain of God. When we pray, it balances our emotionalism. It's an important thing to remember in our lives. And then finally, we'll end because we're out of time. It is this: prayer keeps us spiritually empowered. Prayer keeps us spiritually empowered. Jesus taught us that in his great hour of trial. A lot of people think that the victory was won at the cross. It's not true. The victory was not won at the cross. The victory for us, and for Christ for that matter, in his flesh, was won in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed. He prayed, and the Bible tells us there that he began to pray in such a way that the sweat that he prayed in his intensity of prayer was like great drops of blood, thick sweat. And he prayed. And then he gets up and he goes to his disciples, and what are they doing? Praying? Sleeping. He says, come on, get up. Can't you guys pray? So he goes back to pray. Second time, he prays again. He comes back, and if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each time he comes back, he's stronger in his resolve. Until he comes back the third time, he says, just keep sleeping. And he must have waited. We don't know how long. Sleep on. And there's a pause. We don't know how long. Did an hour go by? Was it 5 minutes? But then he says, it's time to get up, for the hour of darkness is upon us, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed. And what did he do? He went forward with boldness. He went right in to the den of the lion, so to speak. He went to the cross in complete control. He was strengthened in prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, we've got the great implements of the Christian spiritual warfare: the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate, the feet, everything's there. And as you read the end of that great description of the Christian soldier, it concludes with us then praying. That the Christian soldier is to pray, and God will bring all of that strength together. People, we must pray as a church. We must pray as a family. We must pray as a Christian. You say, well, my schedule doesn't allow me to pray with my family. Then let me ask you this. I understand that, but let me ask you this. Does your family know you pray for them? You can do that. You can tell them. And there'll always be some time, even if it's around the meal. Well, we don't eat except one day a week. Well, then make it that. Then do that together. Redeem it. But let your children or your husband or your wife know that you're praying. Well, you can close your Bible and keep this in mind. The Bible makes it very clear God wants to answer our prayers. He's waiting and listening. But listen, the Bible makes it also very clear that when you go to pray, Jesus said this, when you go to pray, he says, make sure that your relationship with all of your friends and family and everybody that's in your life is cleared. He's talking to the Christian. He's talking to the believer. That when the believer goes to pray, don't even bother to pray. If there's some sort of a war going on between you and a brother or sister or somebody in your life, Jesus says your Father is not going to hear your prayer. Go and settle the account with the one that you're at odds with and forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Zero. He's talking to the believer. It has to do with communication. You may be saved, going to heaven, and your name written down in the book of life. When Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you, it's a statement about communication. Your Father's not going to talk to you if you're not talking to your friend. That's what he's saying. Set it straight with your friend, because that's real spirituality. Then come and talk to me, God is saying. And then Peter comes along and says, likewise, husbands, give honor to your wives. Love them. Consider them to be the weaker vessel. Take care of them. lift them up. For having not done so, many of you have experienced your prayers being hindered. Listen to what he says. Don't write it. You can get the tape. You don't need to write it down. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wife according to understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, seeing that you are heirs together of the grace of life, so that your prayers are not hindered. The word hindered means to be plugged or stopped up, to be like dammed, like a river. You would dam a river to make a lake. Hey, if you're fighting with your wife, God's not going to listen to your prayer. Well, what if I go to make up? She won't make up. Now it's her problem. Well, my friend, you know, we got in a big war, and I went to him. He wouldn't listen to me. That's his problem now. But your heart better be going to your friend or going to your husband or going to your wife and at least try to make amends sincerely in the fear of the Lord. God says, I'm not going to listen to your prayer. Isaiah 59, he says, listen, you can talk to me all you want, and my hand is not short that it can't save you, and my ear is not deaf that I can't hear you, but your sins have separated you from me so that I cannot rescue you, nor can I hear you when you pray to me. Isaiah chapter 1 says, though you pray to me with outstretched arms and you have sin in your life, I will not hear you. He's talking to the believer. And so that's a very serious thing. Many of you, see, have blamed God for not answering prayers of yours when in reality he couldn't hear you. He hasn't been able to hear you. Because there's an issue between you and a brother or you and a sister. And that even goes for your mom and dad or your son and daughters. It's important. Father, how lofty is this topic of prayer? How complicated we've made it, and yet it didn't need to be. Lofty, yes. Complicated, no. Father, as a church, may we choose prayer. Apparently, perhaps even this week. Who knows, but within 24 hours, we will be convicted as we see the news coming from afar. We'd better pray.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, concluding a study series called Why Should I Pray? And of course, we at Real Radio pray that you have gained a better understanding of prayer with each of these broadcasts. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue with more in this Why Should I series in a presentation called Why Should I Get Saved? Now remember, this series, which is a part of a greater series through the Book of Acts, is available to you on one MP3 CD. Of course, we're talking about the Why Should I series. Our offer is that if you send in any tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. Again, we'll send you this series, the Why Should I series, all on one convenient MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Whether you call, click, or write, remember the title. In a phrase, Why Should I? And of course, whatever you contribute, it's all tax deductible. Visit us at realradioactive.org to learn more. You'll be able to read more about it under the banner Special Offer, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, here's our number. 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in a contribution, all of which is tax-deductible, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.